And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on Active FM Radio. Has never been better. I'm your girl, Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio we have...
Gavin Enslin.
Pastor Gavin Enslin and...
The Black Knight.
The Black Knight, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Hot politics.
I just want to warn our listeners. Like, it's the third show in a row that Black Knight is here.
Yeah.
Second. So your Oaks must watch, because things might be coming out of the sky. You know, meteors and, you know, civilization ending events might be happening.
Yep. It is the... I'm joking. It's not the end times.
We should do a political show, The Politics of the End Times.
This week we are speaking about something that is really affecting, weirdly enough, the South African politics, the elections, that has some sort of... It's one of the key, weirdly enough, and I'm saying it weirdly enough, because it's one of the key topics that have affected where people... in terms of where their polls are going towards, whether it's DA, whether it's the ANC, whatever party that is. And that is the Israel-Palestine conflict that is currently happening.
Yeah, so many people outside of South Africa might believe that all South Africans are pro-Palestinians. And that's obviously because of the stand that the government of the country has taken. You know, and we can discuss this. I'm not sure how many polls have been taken. I haven't seen any polls of where the South African public at large actually sits on this. I do know, yeah, there is a large contingent of the South African population that is pro-Palestinian, but there's also a large contingent of the South African population that is pro-Jewish.
True.
You wouldn't say that listening to our media. If you listen to the media here in South Africa, you'd believe that all of the South African people are pro-Palestinian. That's not really the case. And I actually saw one of the leaders in the Jewish community interviewing the British journalist, Douglas Murray? I've hit the blank now. I think it's Douglas Murray, who's, he's been all over the world. He's been to Israel, Gaza, you know, all of those places. And this Jewish guy was telling Murray that, the Jewish people feel very alienated. But that might just be because of the media. Because I know a lot of people that support Israel, although that's not in our media. So it's a very polarizing issue, yeah? And... I think it would be very interesting if a referendum was run to see, you know, who the majority of South Africans actually support. And so we're going to obviously be giving our views on that. And so I think we can call the show, if our producer can just hear what we say now and he can type in the name of the show. We should call the show Israel versus Palestine, who do South Africans support?
It's going to be a hot show, as always, because this is The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Hot politics.
Stay updated and stay entertained
on Active FM.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Google, TikTok, Google, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, awesome. LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Engage with us, like posts, comment, share them out, retweet, and repost. Spread the word. Active FM.
Radio
has never been better.
Better.
We are speaking about how the Gaza war is actually shaking up the South African election campaigns. And Pastor Gavin had shared a video with us where Gayton McKenzie, if you don't know who Gayton McKenzie is, he's the leader of...
Patriotic Alliance.
Alliance. And I was, for some reason, I was thinking African Alliance, and I'm like, African Alliance is not the correct word, but it's the Patriotic Alliance. And
are you going to play the video?
Let me play the video.
It was, I think it's BizUp, or Biz News, was doing a panel with the parties, I think mainly the opposition parties.
Yeah.
And they just asked the Democratic Alliance, which up until now has been the official opposition. And the Democratic Alliance leader, John Steenhuisen, gave an answer. And then they went on to Gaetan McKenzie.
Mm.
And Gaetan McKenzie, he gave his answer. And what I love about his answer, it starts with him saying that he thought white men can't dance.
Do you want to see a free and sovereign Palestine?
Right. I think they lie when they say white men can't dance. John has been dancing around the question here. He's not been answering the question. Let me show him how you answer the question. Let me answer the question. Number one, there's no genocide happening there. Number two,
when children are starving, that's...
No, let me answer you. Don't tell me how I should answer you. Number two, let me tell you something. If I'm the president of this country, and let's say Lesotho comes here and they take hostages and they take children, and I will bomb Lesotho, and if they want peace, they must return the children. Nothing tells you about peace. And if I become president, I will stop that case of the ICJ, simply because the honorable minister pursues Israel. Yesterday, 22 people are shot here in Misha Spring. More than in Ramallah, in Palestine. They are wearing scarves of Palestine. While our people die here, more than Palestine. Today they say we must be enemy. Jewish people are the enemy. I grew up poor. It was a Jewish woman in Operation Hunger that was giving us food. It was the Jewish people that went to Mandela to jail. So nobody will tell me. Hamas is a terrorist organization that should be destroyed totally. That's my stance. Hate me or love me.
So he was clearly very passionate about his case. But Pascal, with you.
And notice there were people clapping.
Yes. What are your thoughts on that?
A lot of people in South Africa support the Palestinian cause. Obviously, some of them are Muslims. But the Muslim are a very small percentage of population here in South Africa. But as far as the political discourse goes, the majority of black people that support the Palestinian cause is because of the ruling African National Congress. And historically what has happened is that your socialist and communist parties have obviously supported the Palestinians. They supported Yasser Arafat. They supported the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. And all of these sorts of things. And the ANC now has come out and has decided to take a lead to take Israel to court for genocide. When at the end of the day, as Mr. Gaetan McKenzie aptly puts it, people are being murdered here. And I think I heard a stat that in the last 3 months in Gauteng, 1,000 something people have been murdered.
Mm.
Okay, 1,000 and something. Just in the province of Gauteng, there's 9 provinces in South Africa. Gauteng is the province that houses the cities of Johannesburg and Pretoria. Over 1,000 people have been murdered in Gauteng alone. Never mind South Africa.
Mm.
The Gauteng Strip is like a big problem. We've got Al-Shabaab, which is wiping out whole villages in the north of Mozambique.
Mm.
And the South African government is saying nothing about it. We've got Al-Shabaab killing people in Kenya and in Ethiopia as well. And the South African government is saying nothing about it. We've got Islamic genocide taking place against Christians in Nigeria at an alarming rate. More people are dying for their Christian faith in Nigeria than of any other religious grouping in the world. And South African government is saying nothing. And if you look at what the Muslims have done to Christians in Somalia and what they've done to Christians in Sudan, where they've attacked the Christians to such an extent that the southern part of Sudan had to split off and become a separate country called Southern Sudan, because that's where Christian majority was. But even there in Sudan, the Arabs who control the main government have attacked the black people in the west, you know, the west of Sudan, an area called Darfur, which is majority Muslim, and the war's been going on there between the Arab Muslims and the black Muslims, and that they've been killing them. So I can go on forever, you know, talking about things like this that are going on all over the African continent. We have murder going on at an exceptional rate here in South Africa, yet they can't use the money to fix police stations, to fix schools, many of which are in a terrible state. They can't build more schools. The hospitals are in a disastrous state. We don't have enough nurses in the hospitals. You've got one nurse having to look after 450 million patients, it feels like. If you go to the Charlotte Maxeke Hospital, or previously known as the Johannesburg General Hospital, you can sit there for 4 days and you know, maybe having a stroke, and then you can sit there in the waiting room for 4 days and then you die in the chair in the waiting room. That literally happens. I know of people that have died in the waiting rooms in our hospitals. We've got all of this stuff going on. Now, how many millions of rands did it cost the South African government to take that case to the International Court of Justice, take some of the top lawyers in South Africa and go and argue the case before the Court of International Justice, not even realizing that the standard language in the International Court of Justice is French, and our guys were making their submissions in English. And so, you know, so we can go on. And then, you know, all of a sudden the ANC, who had massive money problems, all of a sudden their money problems seem to disappear. And obviously there's a lot of accusations going on around where did they get that money. Some people are saying countries like Iran. I don't know where they got the money from, but their problems definitely disappear. Although I have heard in the last few days that their problems seem to be back on, if you know what I'm saying. So anyway, when you look at all of these things that are going on, now we must take Israel to court and what's happening to our women and children in South Africa. How many women are being raped? I heard another stat this week that 38% of South Africa's men have raped a woman. 38%. 38%. What?
Sure.
I don't know if my wife, if that's accurate, but that's horrific. That's, as a man, that's embarrassing. That's going on in South Africa. Now we want to take Israel to court. Is there any videos of the Israelis raping the Palestinian woman? There is videos from October 7 where those Hamas terrorists were raping Israeli women and then killing them. We do have video evidence of that. And that came with GoPros and things like that, that the Hamas guys were carrying themselves. So all of this stuff is going on. And when I listen to the media in South Africa and I listen to the majority of the politicians, there seems to be a very, very one-sided view. And the point that Gaitan McKenzie made, he said, if Lesotho comes here, I love that point, and they come and they attack and they take hostages, he says, I will bomb Lesotho, but I'm not sure he's going to bomb in Lesotho, because the main thing is there's mountains, you know what I'm saying? There's not much to bomb there. But he says, I will bomb Lesotho until they give the hostages back. And that's normally the standard. And then people are talking about international law and international war crimes regarding war. What is a war crime? You go into a place, you bomb the hell out of a city, you kill soldiers, you kill civilians, you kill everyone that's there. You bomb a power station so that they don't have power. There's people working in the power station, they all get killed. They're just engineers and stuff giving the country power. You go bomb a dam where the guys are looking after the water supply, and you kill all the guys working in that dam as you blow the dam wall up. The dam comes down and washes away towns downstream. What do you mean international war crimes? All right, war is all about killing people. And the thing is, at the end of the day, when someone starts a war, how can you now suddenly say, right, these guys invaded. Whose permission did they have to invade? All right, I mean, did they have permission to invade? Did they have permission to knock down an international border, go into towns, take people out at gunpoint, take them off as hostages, kill people, shoot their dogs, do all sorts of stuff, kill a whole lot of policemen in a police station? You have the Israeli army evacuating, you know, all of that sort of stuff. What rules did they follow?
Yeah.
And why everyone's saying, what about the civilians? So how many of those people in Gaza don't support Hamas's cause to destroy Israel.
Mm.
And if they support what Hamas did, are they innocent bystanders? Mm. All right. And so there's all of these arguments come, but all I'm hearing is propaganda. Now, sure, the Israeli side's probably going to give propaganda as well, but we're not hearing it. Not in South Africa anyway.
Mm.
So, you know, and maybe yourself and Black Knight can give an opinion. I'm not 100% sure where South Africans stand, where their support lies. But you've obviously got the ANC, and at least they're full on in the Palestinian camp. Then you've got the Democratic Alliance. And like Gaita McKenzie says, they dance around the issue.
Yeah.
They say a whole lot of words, but they say nothing.
Mm.
So you do not actually know where do they stand on this issue. You do not even know if they're neutral.
Mm.
I mean, there's one of three stands you take. Pro-Palestinian, pro-Israeli, or neutral. That's it. The DA is none of those. So that I don't respect at all.
Yeah.
And so I mean it's the coverage is very one-sided, and there is a greater plan, a multinational plan against Israel, that is for sure. Are the Israelis perfect? No. Israel is full of sinners like every other country. Israel needs a savior like every other citizen of every other country. That part is true. So now, of course, they're going to do stuff that's wrong. Can I say that no Israeli soldiers have raped Palestinian women? No, I don't know. In fact, it's very possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible. But say that has happened. Looking at our record as South Africa, should we be pointing fingers if 38% of our men have raped a woman in their lifetime? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Like he said, 22 people killed the day before that discussion in Mitchell's Plain.
Mm.
How many people do all of us sitting in this room know that have been murdered in this country, even in the last 5 years?
Mm.
And yet, yeah, we want to go talk about genocide and war crimes. And we've never been to Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of these people that are saying all the stuff about Gaza and about Israel have even been there?
Mm.
And the last thing, please don't tell me that the Muslims are going to give accurate stats. If you tell me how many civilians have died in the Gaza Strip, those figures come from Hamas. What? Have you vetted those figures? It's the same as if you tell me the dinosaurs lived millions and billions of years ago. How did you vet your figures?
Yeah.
You understand? So I've got a million questions.
Mm. Black Knight, what are your thoughts? On the video and the whole situation with what's this, the fact that the conflict in Israel and Palestine is actually affecting the South African campaigns, election campaigns.
I think once again, I think the whole thing, like how I've always seen it, is a thing that's being planned. I know probably I'm not sure, but I don't know if you did agree, but you did say that if it is controlled by the world elites, they don't know what they're playing with, because they might not have control over this whole war if they're the ones that are orchestrating this whole thing. But I think that it is.
No, if they think they can control the Muslims,
yeah,
there's gonna come a day when they're in for a nasty surprise.
Yeah. So I still stand on that stance to say that this is an orchestrated war for the whole global world that we want to go into for 2030, that is. So this is going to be used for every politician this year. I think it's going to affect most elections in most countries, and this is going to be used as a factor, because I think we do have stats where the world is more Christian than they are Muslim or the other religions that we find. I think we are Christianity still the leading domination, right? I'm right by that. So I think that they know that they're gonna use that, because it's just like a mini World War III or a cold World War III that's gonna happen, but it's gonna be just in ideas and all of that. And then by then, when everyone is fighting, they obviously come up with their own solution, which will be maybe this one God and this one God who knows no gender and all of that, you know, and then put in their own agenda out of this. But and hence why this is now affecting our elections. But I don't think that it is really, because that's not what's on people's minds. What's on people's minds, I think people are still mainly gonna vote based on what has happened in the past with the load shedding and all of that, and the whole corruption and all of that. I still think people are still gonna vote based on that, and a bit it's still gonna be based on the whole, I know it's old, but I think it's still working, the whole apartheid thing. I think they, people are still gonna still vote based on that. And then,
okay, but I mean, we've got listeners that are overseas now, so I'm sure Giggs understands, and I understand what you're saying, but I think you need to explain what you're saying for the benefit of, yeah, when you say the whole apartheid thing.
So there's the whole play that the politicians, especially the ANC, would likes playing on, the card that they like to use. In America, it's the black and white race and the whole segregation they had. For us, it's apartheid that we had. It's kind of like segregation, but with us, it was it's a thing of you can grow your own culture and traditions, but on your own space, and the others can also do the same thing. But
but I mean, what is the campaign that's being used?
The campaign will be is that if any of the parties, either the ANC leading the country, the whole system can come back to haunt the people of South Africa.
So the EFF will bring back apartheid.
The EFF,
the IFP,
yes.
The DA will bring back apartheid.
Yes.
Whoever's in power other than the ANC will bring back apartheid. Yes. And would you agree also there's an argument that's being promoted out there that says all the black people need to stay in the ANC to remain united, and that black people have a voice within the ANC.
Yes.
So they can affect the nation.
Yes.
Now, my question is, when are you obviously then going to vote ANC on the 29th of May?
Me?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, so obviously then for you, these arguments are not persuasive.
Yeah, they're not.
Why not?
Because obviously this is why I do this show, because I get to find out the real politics and the real ANC and what's really happening. And
can I ask you, so obviously this whole discussion about Israel and Palestine, a lot of the South African elites are talking about it.
Yeah.
How many of the, and some of your wealthier pastors and your ANC connected pastors are talking about it?
Yeah.
How many of the average people are even interested in this issue?
They're not even a bit.
And if you press them on who they'd go for, who do you think they'd side with?
They'll obviously go with Israel.
So are you saying most black people would go for Israel?
For sure.
Okay, I'm asking because I genuinely wouldn't know.
Even our president knows how Christian our country is. In fact,
so you're saying it's because of the Christian ethos within many black people?
Yes.
Because in my experience, black South Africans are more Christian than white South Africans.
Yeah.
That's my experience.
Yeah.
Okay, so black South Africans on average are more likely to be pro-Israel, unless if they're a Christian that's involved with the ANC, that's been involved with the ANC for many years.
Yeah.
Then they obviously would deviate to...
Especially knowing with the past in apartheid also, how the church stepped in for playing a big part in...
Yeah, and that doesn't...
Mandela and stuff, so...
That doesn't get much airplay.
Yeah.
In the media today, number one,
people know it.
Yeah,
people,
I mean, the church educated Mandela, Walter Sisulu, and all of those stalwarts of the struggle. They were educated by the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
Many of the people that helped Mandela and then when they were in prison were Jews. Mm-hmm. All right, the Jews stood very, very much Jewish people in general. Not, I think some of the core guys supported apartheid, but. A lot of the Jewish people stood against apartheid.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's what Gaita McKenzie is saying there, you know, is true. So obviously it's a one-sided narrative, and also one of the things you find in South Africa, there's no recognition for the massive role that the church played in the years leading up to the 1994 election, when we moved from the apartheid regime, you know, into the new South Africa. And that would have blown up into a war if it wasn't for the church.
In fact, if people want to know the stance of South Africa with Christianity, they must see in lockdowns. We had churches that were being bulldozed by cops. That's how much people are so
black churches
Christian. Yes.
Being
That's
smashed apart so by black policemen.
Yes.
Who beat up old women.
Yeah.
Now, is there still a lingering issue that people have, you know, with what happened with the lockdowns?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Sure. Yeah, people don't, if they hear that, they don't want that.
No, but you think it's going to affect the election?
Yes, I personally feel so, because one of the biggest things that, especially during lockdown, that what the lockdowns, the way that the South African government handled the lockdowns in South Africa, brought on that whole thing of apartheid. Whether it was white people, whether it was black people, whatever, but the older generation, more specifically, it
brought back nightmares.
It reminded
even for the whites.
Yes,
because even we were restricted.
Yes,
people don't often talk about that, but
yeah,
you know, even for white people, I remember at the time when we got out of apartheid, it was a relief. It's like the whole nation was relieved, but the ANC has messed that up, in my view. I mean, if you take the 1995 World Cup, the way that the nation united around that rugby team was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they're using this as a distraction away from the real problems.
Yeah. In Mark 13, verse 35 to 37, it says, "You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone, watch for him."
If you listen, in South Africa, there's a lot of confusion. Jesus is talking there about the fact that you need to watch, and you need to be careful, and you need to look out for the return of the Lord. A large, very large percentage of the South African population believes that. So we've got all of this crime and stuff, but if there weren't so many Christians in this country, I have the view things would be a lot worse. Looking at all of this confusion, I don't see a clear option for people to vote for right now that excites them, if you know what I'm saying. And we'll just for people in South Africa and for people outside South Africa, I think we'll, you know, in the lead up to the 29th of May, we'll look at some of the options. And obviously for me, the politics is much more interesting here in South Africa than in the US. Mm. Because a lot of what they're arguing about in the US is frivolous nonsense.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of the people there, I think, are very spoiled by the level of wealth that they've lived in. And whereas here, many people have to survive. And so, people are not interested in social media issues and all of that, because you've got to survive today. And you can't eat an Instagram post or a TikTok video or something like that. You've got to get food. But what Jesus is saying, everyone's maybe watching for an election, and they think if we can change who's in power, it's going to change the situation. But the reality is that that's not going to happen. The bottom line is, when you look at everything, is the fact that Jesus is coming back one day, and until Jesus comes back, the world's going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. Because the world is operating under the oppression of sin. The only answer there is for that is the blood of Jesus. And we need to make sure and maintain every single day that we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he can come back at any time. Our death can happen at any time, and if we're not ready, then we're going to have lots of issues when we face judgment. And so I want to encourage you, there's only one Savior, his name's Jesus. If you're looking for a Savior amongst politicians, you're not going to find them. They're going to let you down. And I was actually in a meeting with someone in the last week, and we were actually talking about the elections here in South Africa. And this person who's not in our church, he actually made a statement to me. He was saying, the only hope that South Africa's got is the church. Mm. I nearly fell off my chair. I definitely did not expect that to come from him. He said, there's no hope amongst the politicians. None of them are going to solve this problem. And he was speaking about some initiatives that he's been involved in the past relating to early childhood development and stuff. And he says, the politicians just never have the will to see it through. And so as a result, the average IQ in South Africa is low because these things are neglected by the people in power. And the reality is, if you're expecting people to come solve all the problems, you're going to be let down. Because the reason why people in power can be corrupted is due to the fact that they're corrupted by sin.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is put your hope in Jesus. Do what Jesus commands you to do, which is to go out and tell people about the gospel. Bring them into your church. Mm-hmm. Teach them how to pray. Walk with them. Do with them what Jesus did with the 12 disciples. Then you will change the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the politics will follow the nation.
Yeah.
The politicians will start having to align themselves with what the nation is saying. They'll have to become a moral bunch, or else other politicians will take their place.
Yeah.
And the will of the people cannot be overruled. Because if enough people become united around the issue, the only way to defeat them is to blow them all up.
Yeah.
And in the world we are today, I don't think that anyone can get away with putting a couple of nuclear bombs over all the cities in South Africa and creating some mushroom clouds and things like that. I don't think that will be accepted. So, you know, failing that, the politicians cannot overcome the will of the people. And we saw that with many of the attempted restrictions that were placed on South Africans by the South African government and most of the opposition parties. It didn't work because the people didn't accept it.
Mm.
All right. And so my advice to you as I finish for this show is, you know, make sure your eyes are on Jesus, make sure your faith is in him, and make sure that you trust him with everything that you have.
Man, this has been an amazing show, very interesting as always, because this is the political show right here on Active FM. Radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix, and with me in studio we've had
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin and
The Black Knight.
Right here on the political show where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.